When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe, and welcome to the return of the Track the Girls Tour podcast, covering all things Ipswich Town women who are going to be playing in the WSL2 for the very first time. So exciting times to come for Joe Sheehan's team, and I'm joined by my right-hand man covering the team, and that is Tom Cann. My friends, we were there last season, seeing promotion at Felixstowe Walton at the Martello Ground, and now we're going to be looking forward to seeing the team playing the WSL2. How's things? How's your summer been?
Not too bad, thank you. Just been working away, busy, but really looking forward to the season coming back and watching the team in WSL2. I'm probably going to call it the Championship at some point, because I've spent the entire last season calling it the Championship until WSL decided to change it. So, really excited to get back to it and watch them in the second tier.
Yeah, it's going to be great fun. And we're going to hopefully bring you these regular podcasts. As you're probably an old listener, we obviously had good old Blue Wilson as my co-host. I've got now Tom Cann, and we're hoping to get other special guests on, maybe yourselves. If you're a big fan of the Track the Girls, if you want to share your thoughts and views, that'd be great to get you involved. We've got a lot to talk about because a lot's happened over the past month. We've got the retain list. We've got a new home for the Track the Girls. And also going to be looking ahead to the WSL2, not the Championship. Lily said that, Tom. get out of the way now. Championship, second tier. We're going to quickly run down, and we've got some other business to talk about as well. But the big news, though, Tom, is the retain list. Of course, it got released probably a month ago or something like that. But we've sort of wanted to settle down a little bit, wait for the kits to come out. I'm sure the girls will be back in pre-season training very shortly. It's retain list, my friend. Always interesting. For the men and the women's team, you're always like, oh, who's gone? Who's going to sign the new contract? Shall we quickly talk about the players who have been retained? New contract offers have been made, which is not a surprise, to skipper Maria Boswell, goalkeepers Laura Hartley and Natalia Negri, defenders Summer Hughes, Leah Mitchell and Megan Waring, midfielders Charlotte Fleming, Lucy O'Brien and Kyle Robertson, and forwards Sophie Escott, Ruby Seabee and Natasha Thomas. They were pretty much set in stone. Do you reckon there's a few there who they're here forever? Like Natasha and stuff, they're probably here forever.
Yeah. I don't think there's any surprises in who have been offered contracts at all. I'm looking forward to seeing Charlotte Fleming back. Obviously, she's been out for a long time since hashtag. So it'll be good to see her back in the WSL2. So. Yeah, no real surprises with those that have been offered contracts.
Yeah, very much so. And discussions are ongoing with youngsters Katie J. Bonwick and Nina Mialo. Of course, Katie J. scored an absolute screamer. The goal of the season on her debut against Cheltenham on the final day where Town obviously clinched promotion. And Nina Mialo has been on loan at AFC Sudbury, the goalkeeper, and also winning caps for the Philippines at senior level, which is great. She's now on the board with Natasha Thomas, which is great to see. Winning a senior international cap. We'll find out a bit more about their futures. And obviously the lone players have returned to their parent clubs. So Elke Boya, Lucy Watson and Ruby Doe, who's actually left West Ham. And that is a big talking point Tom, because she's a free agent now. She's been at the club two times before. Could a third spell come? And that's a big, you know, question for you, really, my friend. Do you reckon she could come back permanently?
It wouldn't surprise me at all. As you say, she's been back twice on loan, released by West Ham this summer. Very strong partnership with Kyra in the second half of last season. Performed very well in the centre of midfield. I can fully see her coming back permanently. I think she would be a real asset to have in that centre midfield. You know, I don't know how old she is now, 19, 18, 19. But she's, when you watch her, you wouldn't think that at all. She is not afraid of snapping anyone's legs. She goes in on tackles. She runs with the ball. She's not bad at striking from distance either. So I can fully see if Joe wants to bring her back, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
And let's have a quick look at how old she is. Let me just quickly have a little look-see. I can't find it on this thing. But yeah, you'll know, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, I know a lot of the Town fans do like her as a player. And obviously she can score some good goals as well. So we'll watch this space on that one. I'm sure Joe Sheehan and co have got their targets in mind. And yeah, at the moment, they've not signed a player as we record. I bet you anything, we'll put this out and they've signed a player. just like the men's team, we're like sort of waiting for that first signing. And then you record something and then you're, oh, they've signed somebody. So we'll find out. But we'll discuss that actually, Tom, about maybe the positions they need to strengthen in and maybe get that experience. But let's talk about the players who have been released. And some interesting ones, maybe one big talking point out of them all. We'll get to that very shortly, but let's just sort of run through it all. So defenders Maisie Barker, Grace Garrod and Evie Williams, and then forwards Andrea Anderson, Izzy Bryant and Ella Rutherford. And obviously the big talking point there is Maisie Barker, because she had a really good season. She's now signed for Oxford. So she didn't take her long. She was snapped up straight away. I'm sure when that retain list came out, teams were looking at it and going, wow, Maisie Barker's up for a free. She had a really good season, didn't she, Tom? And yeah, surprise one.
Yeah, that one is the most surprising out of them all, because she's been here two seasons and pretty much has been a mainstay in the starting 11 for most of that time. She can play either right or left back, which is, you know, really, really good to have. So I am surprised, but maybe, you know, they just thought, Championship, bit of step up. But the fact that she's been snapped up so quickly by Oxford, who they themselves have real ambitions to get promoted. Obviously, they also signed Holly Turner, so they're reunited in the third tier. So I think the fact that she was snapped up so quickly sort of tells everyone that, you know, she is a fantastic player to have, especially on a free. So, I mean, good luck to her. Might be seeing her not next season, the season after, in the WSL 2, hopefully.
Yeah, I was sort of sad, actually, because obviously she sort of joined Town, as you said, 2 years ago after some big injuries. And then she had, you know, a few little niggles in that first season, but she really showed promise. And then last year, she was just flourishing down that right. And she's versatile as well. And she just runs for days. And I know there's a few Town fans a bit disappointed that she's gone, but we wish her all the best at Oxford. And as you said, she's reuniting with Holly. She's also got Zoe Barrett there, another former Town player. So it's sort of like a little mini Ipswich Town getting built at Oxford United. So a team to watch in the third tier, as you say. Another players, Grace Garrod, who is a really good friend with Maisie. She hasn't obviously been snapped up by any other team, but she obviously signed last season. Played pretty well. She had, once again, she got injured in pre-season, but then when she came into the team, she's really solid. Yeah, interesting one, really, because she's got a little bit of experience in the second tier. And obviously, this team are lacking that a little bit. But yeah, what thoughts on that, my friend?
A little bit surprising as well, because obviously she had injury problems last season. She was out for a fair while. But when she did play, she was, you know, really solid. Could play centre-back or centre-mid and fill in that little hole when required. Her free kicks were always really dangerous. If it was in a promising situation, you'd probably normally say this is going in the back of the net. So it is a little bit surprising. But again, you know, good luck to her in finding a new club. I think it would have been good to have kept hold of her. Obviously, I don't know what goes on behind the scenes and things and contract negotiations and all that. But as you say, she does have that experience at the second tier level. But, you know, the club have made the choice and you know, she's another one that's been released recently.
Yeah, and I can imagine they've just got their sights on maybe a better player and who's got maybe more experience. So, yeah, we'll find out a bit more on that. Then you got Evie Williams, who obviously has been a young player, come through the academy. I think most likely that's more she wants to play games and she's most likely not going to play games with a championship team. I said it again, WSL2 team. So I'm sure she'll get snapped up by, you know, maybe a fourth-tier team or, you know, never know, third-tier team who she wants to be playing regularly because she's now at an age where she wants to do well. But I thought when she, at the start of the season, because she was playing, wasn't she, Tom? She had to come in. So obviously, with the injuries, she and she did really well. And obviously, she's never one of those players that Joe has obviously grown in the youth academy. And yeah, wish all the best.
Yeah, last season, actually 2 seasons ago, she was, you know, quite a permanent player actually at that left-back spot. For a long time and last season obviously didn't get as many opportunities with, you know, Maisie and Summer and Leah Mitchell all doing really well. But as you say, she probably just wants to play games. I wouldn't be surprised if she does go to somewhere like a Sudbury or, dare I say it, Norwich. You know, doesn't really need to move anywhere. Lower level, probably playing every game. Wouldn't surprise me at all, but yeah, promising one that came through the ranks, and I'm sure she'll do really well going forward.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be interested to see where she ends up. And then you've got like 3 forwards, and so that definitely means we need to sign some forwards, Tom, going into this season, because at the moment we've only got Tash. Natasha Thomas is the sort of only recognised striker, really. Yeah, you've got Angela Anderson, who obviously sort of had a bit of a homecoming because he obviously came through the, you know, youth academy back in the day, and obviously he's played WSL2, but then obviously ended the season with an injury. Izzy Bryant, who of course ended the season on loan at Oxford, and then Ella Rutherford, who obviously scored some big goals and obviously played WSL2 as well. Thoughts on those three? I think they probably weren't much of a surprise. Definitely Izzy Bryant, who's probably another player that just wants to play regularly, and I'm sure she'll get snapped up by somebody.
Yeah, not really a surprise on any of them. Izzy, as you say, I think, you know, she was brought in, what was it? She came back from America, brought in January, a couple of seasons ago. And, you know, didn't play too much, but had a part to play every time she came on. Angela started the season really well last year, but as you say, got an injury, ended the season, you know, on the sidelines, not being able to play. So maybe they just thought that's something that she can't really come back from, that injury very quickly. And Ella, really important player last season, scored some really vital goals, mainly against Exeter. I think she scored 3 across the 2 games and both of them earned Ipswich points. So yeah, really, really good player. But I think, well, I spoke to her after the last game of the season, and it sounded to me at the time that, you know, she knew that she was going to be on her way, because she kept saying, whatever team Joe takes to the championship, I'm sure they'll do really well. WSL2, I'm sure they'll do really well. So it seemed then that she knew that, you know, that was her time at Ipswich over. But yeah, all three good players. So I'm sure they'll land on their feet. Probably third tier level, quite easily.
Yeah, we'll wait and see where they end up. I'm putting you on a spot here, really, Tom, but how many signings do you reckon they need then? If you think those, let's quickly have a look so the players released, how many is that? So you've got 3 defenders, and then so 6 players released, and you've got 3 players who have returned to their parent club. So that's 9 players gone. Obviously retained, you know, most of the squad. So goalkeeper's probably set in stone. Defenders, maybe you need some maybe fullbacks potentially. Midfielders, maybe just maybe 1 more midfielder, and then maybe some more attacking players, definitely a forward, someone to compete with Tash. So 9 players gone. How many do you reckon they need?
I'd say 6 or 7. I think they definitely need to bring in players with experience, probably at WSL level, even if it's, you know, for a team that were battling relegation. Just someone that knows how to play at that level, knows the physicality of it, the pace of it, because I'm sure it's very, very different to, you know, National League level. So they need to bring in experience. Striker, definitely. Probably one or two wingers. You know, certainly someone to compete against for that left-hand side, I'm sure. Sophie Beskett will start every game on that right that she's able to, but someone to be on that left and maybe coming on the right. And, yeah, one midfielder and then probably one centre-back and one player that can play right or left back as well to replace Maisie Barker. So few signings needed over the next month or so. But I'm sure the club have been looking at signings since before they got promoted, yeah. Looking at players who will be released and players that will become available and talking to people and things like that. So I'm sure they'll have it all figured out.
Yeah, definitely. And I've just realised, and I'm sure there's some listeners been screaming, I didn't mention Sean Aguirre in the retained list. So I don't know why I forgot to put a name. So Sean, if you are listening, I'm so sorry. I don't know. On my list, I left you out of that. But you are still at the club, I'm sure. So yeah, obviously she was injured at the end of the last season as well. But she's obviously didn't have a forward option there. But yeah, I'm sure Joe and co have got players in mind. Would they ever pay a fee? Could they, if they see a player? You just never know. I'm sure there won't be obviously loads of money, but if there's the opportunity there's a player there that's still got a contract at another team and they really want him, her, then yeah, we shall see. But it's going to be very interesting. But yeah, we'll find out. Let's move on, Tom, to some other big news. The retain list obviously is a big news, but this was sort of brought shockwaves to Suffolk and Ipswich Town women's sort of fan base. Because there'll be a new home for the Tractor Girls for this season in WSL2, and that is going to be down the A12 in Essex at the Colchester United's ground, the JobServe Community Stadium. Your overall feelings on that when you saw it dropped? Obviously, there was a bit of, you know, some whispers and rumours going on about they're having to move, but sort of when you saw that, what was your first thoughts?
I wasn't surprised. It was something that needed to be done. It was pretty evident that the club had outgrown Felixstowe. You know, capacity of what, 2,300 or something like that. So they definitely needed to move. Sad, obviously, because Felixstowe has been their home for 12 years, I think. And all the players and, you know, Joe, every time I've spoken to them, they've all said that, you know, Felixstowe is their home. They really love playing there and they love the crowd, but they needed to move. And Colchester is, you know, just down the road. I know people are a little bit upset that it's not even in the same county, but it is just down the road. Little bit of a pain to get to the stadium, quite famously. So unless you drive, it's a bit of a nightmare to get to. So I imagine I'll be giving quite a lot of lifts to you next season. But yeah, needed to move. 10,000 seater stadium now. I was looking actually at the other, you know, stadiums in the WSL2, and they would have gone from having one of the lowest attendances to, you know, being sort of mid range. Out of all the teams there, and yeah, behind the teams that play at the men's first team football grounds. So big move, big change, but one that definitely needed to be done. And it's only for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
You know, I think people are getting a little bit carried away by the fact that they're moving, they're, you know, ruining the club. It's only for 2 seasons, and you know, it's been publicly stated that they are looking at locations in Ipswich, but because they're in the second tier, they needed to move. It just wasn't viable them staying at Felixstowe. And it also helps me. I know that it's a pain for the fans, but the last game of the season last year was a nightmare to see anything. I'm sure I can't see over people. I didn't even see Casey J's goal. I'm you know, very sorry to her. And I heard the crowd, but I could not see over the crowd. So it will be very useful to actually be able to see what's happening on the pitch from a work perspective.
Yeah, and there'll be Wi-Fi as well for
Wi-Fi.
Reports and for pictures and stuff, so that's a good thing. But yeah, I understand the disappointment. I know there's a lot of Town fans who obviously sort of create that nice community down at Felixstowe, because yeah, the last decade has been really good at Felixstowe, you know, obviously definitely in the sunshine when it's like December time, bloody hell. Although at Colchester's can be cold as well, because they've got some open stands, so it's going to be cold anyway. But yeah, it was needed because of the league they're going to go into. The good thing, though, the club have put obviously some money into the Colchester's ground, because that was also the bit of concern. Like, oh, haven't you seen Colchester's pitch recently? But obviously, they put a lot of like upgrades to it, so that's good. Obviously, the under-21s for the Town men's team, they're going to be playing there as well some games. And as you said, the club will be working towards, you know, securing a permanent home for the women's team in the Ipswich area at some stage. And there'll be games at Portland Road, I'm sure, next season. There'll be, once again, a lot of people will be shouting, oh, why not moving to Portland Road permanently? Well, once again, that costs money in terms of stewarding and other bits and bobs. But you can just see at Felixstowe, they sold out on the final day. Yeah. I know they don't sell out every game week in, week out, but when there is a big game, you want to shot, you know, if we can get 10,000 down at Colchester for a really big game, that'd be amazing. And I know it is down the A12 and it is a bit of a pain in the ass to get to, but I'm sure if, you know, if fans come together, you know, give lifts, maybe the club can put on coaches potentially, which I know it's a little bit annoying for a home game. You've got to get on a coach to go to a home game. for the next two seasons, it is what it is. I'm sure the club will support fans, you know, to, you know, if they need any more information.
Yeah, and it's also important to note that obviously WSL putting a lot of effort into broadcasting their games on YouTube, and Sky Sports now have a right to WSL as well, and they broadcasted the WSL2 game between Lions, London City Lionesses and Birmingham last season for the promotion. So it's clear that broadcast-wise, Felixstowe just wasn't going to cut it. You'd need to build a, you know, big tower thing. I can't remember the name of it, but, and then, you know, a camera, whereas Colchester already has that facility already there. So yeah, I think from that point of view, they also needed to move so that they can, you know, stream games and get the women's game more easily accessible for people to follow.
Yeah. Because obviously I know Felixstowe have had, you know, some BBC games there in the past, because obviously when we got to, you know, West Ham game, you know, a few years back, that was obviously on BBC, but that's, once again, they had to like build something quickly. But this time around, it's Colchester, and it's got to be every game. So yeah, it's going to be sad. Like I said, I've been covering the women's team for about 8 seasons now, and just going down to Felixstowe, it's been my routine, you know, going to the sweet shop, having a burger or something. I actually lived in Felixstowe last season for a year, so it was an easy trip for me to get to games. But it is what it is. But I'm sure Felixstowe, they understand. And I'm sure they're going to wish, and they have sort of wished the club, you know, success. But we can always remember, though, last year, that final day at the Martello Ground, you know, the team getting promoted, and there'll be pictures that will be remembered forever. So it's just on to the future now. And We'll be playing at Colchester United for the next 2 years. And as we said before, there'll be a permanent home in the future. So just go there, support when you can. And as I said, you know, there's good supporter group there, which is Town Women's team. So if you're struggling to get the games, I'm sure they can help out, and we shall see what happens. But yeah, new home and a new thing for me and Tom, you know, to go down the A12, my friends. So, and that's a nice little segue onto the WSL2, Tom, because I wanted to quickly do a rundown of the teams that Town will be facing, because there's a lot of travelling involved and there's a lot of new teams that Town will be playing. I'll quickly go through them all, and also talk about the league, because there's three potential promotion spots. So there's two automatics spots that go straight to the top tier, and there's also a promotion relegation playoff. And of course, there's two spots to get relegated as well. And obviously, Town want to stay well clear of that. But let's quickly go through it and sort of let me know the teams I mentioned who you're sort of looking out for. So you've got Birmingham City, who obviously have been playing WSL, you know, not that long ago. Bristol City, Charlton Athletic, Crystal Palace, Durham, so bloody far. Newcastle United, far again. Nottingham Forest, Portsmouth, who are, of course, an old rival. Sheffield United, Southampton, another old rival. And Sunderland, far again. So, yeah, those are 11 teams that Town will be playing. Obviously, a few familiar faces. Like, we've played teams like Cheltenham before, Palace before in pre-season, Newcastle in the FA Cup a few years back. I think Forest were played in pre-season. They're another team that's sort of been battling, trying to get into the second tier for so long. I think they actually lost in the when they used to do playoff games, where you know you had the two teams who won, the Northern and Southern. I think they lost that many times. Portsmouth, as I mentioned, Southampton as well. But yeah, some travelling for Joe Sheehan's team.
Yeah, lots of travelling. Obviously, last few seasons they've had Cardiff turned Gwalior, which I mean, last season they went there three times, and that's a 5 and a bit hour journey. So there'll be no stranger to travelling. They obviously also had Plymouth and Exeter as well. But I do think that Newcastle is a little bit further away than certainly Cardiff. I've never travelled to Plymouth or Exeter. But yeah, Newcastle, Sunderland, Durham, all in that same area, all miles away. Birmingham, West Midlands, fair journey. Portsmouth and Southampton are a fair journey as well. The closest team now is Charlton, which is very different to what they have been doing, which is closest team, hashtag Billericay, you know, just down the road. So it'll be different for them, but I'm sure they'll be fine with the travelling. I am nervous about Portsmouth because in the past they've always, you know, there has been that battle between the two teams. Portsmouth obviously got the better of Ipswich a couple of seasons ago, managed to stay up in the second tier last season, which will do them the world of good as well. Worried a little bit about Birmingham because they're just, you know, clearly really good side. Obviously, the owners are putting a lot of money into the men's team and probably the women's team as well since taking over. So I'm sure they'll be pushing for promotion again. But Ipswich, they'll hold their own. Obviously, they'll have losses, they'll have wins and some draws, but you just got to hope that they'll have enough in the locker and get the new signings in that they need to avoid being dragged into any sort of relegation talk come the end of the season.
Because you could sort of see in previous seasons, you only need a few wins, really, to stay up. So get those wins early doors, and then you can sort of just look over your shoulder and go, okay, we're fine at the moment. Obviously, another team, Sheffield United, actually got relegated last year, but because of Blackburn's situation, obviously they're, you know, the owners sort of pulling the money and stuff. Yeah. Obviously, they went down, and Sheffield United have stayed up. So Sheffield United, obviously, they only got 7 points last year. They only got one win, 4 draws and 15 defeats, and then obviously Blackburn, you know, had 12 points, Portsmouth 13, Southampton 21. So it was sort of like a, yeah, just a few wins and other teams around them don't do well, then not too good. Obviously, as you mentioned, Birmingham last year missed out on promotion by 2 points, but now it's obviously two teams that go off automatically, yeah, than the team in the playoffs. So there'll be teams really battling, trying to get there. And obviously Town, you never know. They want to battle for that as well if they make signings and stuff like that. And we'll find out the fixtures in a few weeks. Friday, the 25th of July at 10 a.m., the fixtures will be out for the first time in terms of WSL2 fixtures for Ipswich Town Women. The season starts in September. So we got a while, actually, Tom. I just realised that because normally we start maybe second week of August. But yeah, we've got to now wait until September, my friend. So 6th of September is the first game of the season.
Yeah, it's a bit of a wait. Obviously, I think last season we have Oxford, as you said, in mid-August, I think it was. So there is a bit of a way. I don't actually know if there's less teams in the Championship than there are in the Women's National League. No?
It's top 12, isn't it? So
I don't understand why they're starting later. But I guess if it means that there aren't so big a gap between games, because I know last season was a bit of a ridiculous schedule in that I think there was like a game at the end of November and then they didn't play again until they played Manchester City at the start of January. So hopefully that won't happen and they can get into a regular rhythm of actually playing games, you know, week in, week out. If they start the season later, I'm not sure when the season finishes. Might be finishing around the same time, you know, late April, early May.
Third of May is the final day.
Yeah, so got a bit of a wait to go, but they'll play some preseason games. Not actually announced any of them yet, but they'll play some preseason, and I'm sure they'll be ready for whoever the fixture computer puts them up against on the first game of the season.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully it is more random than the men's team, because you all know where I'm going with it. Yeah, and obviously they'll be playing in the League Cup as well, or the Conti Cup, I think it's called. So they could be potentially play some Super League teams. So that'll be interesting. That actually starts, just kind of a quick look, that starts actually in September as well. So they'll play, obviously, a league game, and I'll have that at some stage. It's actually called Subway Women's League Cup this year. I think it's changed its name. So, yeah, and it's actually group stage. I'm just having a little look now. It's actually going to be group stage. So you've got Group A, Group B. So I'm having a quick look if I can see. Obviously, Chelsea are the retainers. So, yeah, obviously, it'll be the Super League and the Championship. Sorry, WSL2 teams. But, yeah, so we'll obviously find out the draw of that at some stage, I'm sure. So it's a new competition for Joe's team to go into as well. And obviously, you've got the FA Cup. Obviously, we'll go in the FA Cup a bit later, I can imagine, now as well. Maybe that around later because of the league we're in. So, exciting times. But, yeah, as I said, the fixtures coming out the 25th of July, the Friday, 10 a.m. And then, obviously, we'll react to that when that drops. So, any other business then, Tom? Let's quickly mention some news that's happened as well. Tash, Natasha Thomas, of course, the legend that she is, obviously played for Jamaica during the international break, and one of the big games was playing against England.
Yeah.
I think they're winning her third cap, if I'm right to say.
Yes, I think so.
Third cap. So, obviously, I know they got beaten. but, obviously, that still must be an amazing moment for her to play against England. Where was it? Leicester City Stadium, which is great. I know, obviously, there's a few Town fans that went. Obviously, her family was there. Although, if I remember rightly, she came off the bench and clattered into Beth Mead. But I'm sure that's a great moment. It's just great to see. And we may have some future international players, you know, soon. But great to see Tash, you know, winning another cap for Jamaica.
Yeah, I know that it meant a lot to her from, you know, what she's posted on Instagram and things like that. And, you know, despite the result, it's still an amazing occasion for her to come on against the current reigning European champions. Obviously, they get their title defence off to a brilliant start the other night. But, yeah, great opportunity to play against some of the best players in the world in women's football. I do know that when she came on, she won a corner pretty early on up against, I can't remember who she was against in that left-back position, but I do know that she ran at a player and won a corner for Jamaica pretty early on. So, showed some promising signs and great opportunity for her third cap, which, yeah, it just means, I know, means an awful lot to her. And as you say, hopefully other players, Nina Miolo has already got caps for Philippines. Potentially other players could get call-ups soon for their countries.
Yeah. Well, one player I can't wait to play in a second year is obviously Sophie Pescott, who obviously was part of the kit launch. Obviously, the new kits are out there. So you saw that. Natalia Negri also wore the goalkeeping kit, which looks very nice, the purple. Mm-hmm. Very nice indeed. But obviously, there's a potential there with the under-23s. And obviously, you've got Megan Waring, who's obviously playing for Scotland. She's very close to becoming a senior international, and I think she will be. I don't want to get too carried away, but she's a great player. And playing championship football, second-tier football in England, that may give her more a chance to play. So that'd be interesting to see. Another big news is a bit of a former player news, but I thought we'll have to talk about it because obviously she's attracted a girl through and through, but she's sort of crossed the divide, and some people can sort of say she's a bit of a traitor. But Eloise King has joined Norwich City. Of course, she left back in February to join Hashtag because obviously she wasn't getting game time, and like for her, she wants to kick on with her career after some injury setbacks. But now she joins Norwich, Tom, which is controversial in a way, because obviously she's a season ticket holder. She's been a Town fan all her life. Obviously her family, you know, are big Town fans. But she joins Norwich, and you've got to say fair play to Canaries, because they're obviously putting money into their team. Obviously they're handing out professional contracts. Obviously in the fourth tier, they're looking to get to the third tier one day. And they want to maybe try to get to Town's level at one stage. But when you saw that news, that was very surprising, wasn't it?
It was surprising, just because obviously she is an Ipswich Town fan. I know that it meant an awful lot to her first time Ipswich played at Portman Road a couple of seasons ago to be able to come off the pitch after a long injury. I know that that meant an awful lot to her. So it was a little bit surprising, but at the same time, if you're a professional footballer, you know, you leave hashtag and looking for a club offers you a full-time contract. You don't have to move either, because it's just up the road. You have the chance to be part of something that, you know, as you say, they are putting money into the team and want to be in the third tier at least. So you could be part of a team that gets promoted potentially this upcoming season. So can't really blame her. It was surprising, though, being an Ipswich fan. But no, good on her for going there and you know, wanting to be part of a squad that are looking to get promoted and you know, play some more games as well. Because obviously that, since that injury, it's been a little bit stop and start for her. So hopefully going to Norwich will get her career back, and she can regularly start playing games again.
Yeah, I think the good thing is it's good for the region, like the East Anglia, because obviously they're a rival to Norwich, but it's good that there's two women's teams sort of putting money into their teams and trying to compete. So, you know, you've got the future generation, we've got opportunities to go to wherever. But we're not going to try to end this podcast, though, Tom, talking about them up the road. It'd be interesting if we play them again at some point, because obviously cup game last season. But any other business, Tom? Are you just looking forward to next season? Obviously, we're not going to do our predictions just yet, but when the fixtures come out, we may have a little look and discuss how we think we'll get on. But yeah, hopefully we'll find out more about pre-season. Hopefully we'll see some signings. But yeah, just going to be an exciting season ahead.
Yeah, it'll be a very exciting season. First time at this level. WSL 2, a lot of attention to it. Change of format. It'll be really fun to watch how Joe's team perform, whether they'll stick with, you know, the same sort of playing style that they've had for the last couple of seasons, you know, playing out from the back. It'll be interesting to see how teams differ at that level compared to the third tier. It'll just be a fun season to watch and to report on and to follow the team and you know, the transfers that they do. Busy summer, but yeah, a very exciting one.
Yeah, bring it on. And as I said, we're going to try to bring you these regularly when we can, when there's news and other bits and bobs. And we'll probably record our next one when the fixtures are out. And hopefully there'll be signings to talk about. And as I said, we're going to get some special guests on. And also, if you want to get involved, get in contact and yeah, follow all of our content covering the Ipswich Town Women's team, as we're, as I said, very excited for the WSL 2 season to come up. But yeah, Tom, thank you very much for joining me. Thanks everyone for listening to a latest Track the Girls Talk podcast, and stay tuned. We'll be back very soon. Bye for now.
Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.